Thank you, Teresa. It's time for a staff meeting here at Sycamore. But maybe I'm mixing my metaphors. Hey, it's the Italian Stallion. How you doing, John? Good to see you. Hey, Dave. What's going on, Dave? Why are you limping?
You know, I've been going to some dry needling, little rehab, and man, they walk around the end of that table and it's pucker time.
Oh man. Look at the head on that one. Hey, Ricky. Ooh, here comes one of the sons of thunder. Jaime. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Pastor Dusty. Hey, sorry to interview guys staff meeting. I know this is important. Hey, I can't understand why those Strickland girls think you have a toupee. It never made sense to me. I have a very important theological question. Something you said yesterday just kind of struck me. About naming your dog. How did you come up with the name Daisy?
Let's just say, Miss Autry, when she does the yard work, it's a particular pair of shorts she likes to wear. Tommy boy, how's the saint doing?
Well, she's good. She's good.
Hey, boy, pull up them pants. You're looking good, son. Swavy and deboning. So, Dave, tell us what you've been learning lately, man. We need to deepen our theology.
Well, you see, I've been listening to some podcasts lately about praying for a show. He's really speaking to me, really. He's been speaking to me.
How about you got any hair on your back?
Kathy shaved it all off last night.
Well, boys, I gotta go. Miss Autry is at home with a mint julep. She's awaiting my arrival.
How do you follow that, huh? In fact, we should have just had Jonathan come up here and do the service, probably. Well, good morning. One of the things we want to do this morning for you guys who are not able to either stay all week or not able to attend summer camp is give you a little feel of what went on. And there's no way to actually duplicate all that God did or said or the way that He does and works up there, but I wanted to show you a few things that dance Terry came up with and a couple months ago. It's about life. Jesus is about life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so I wanted to show you that and show you that little skit that Jonathan came up with. And we praise God for all that He did. And this morning I want to ask a few of my guys to come up, John and Austin and Joe Barnes, come on up here. I'm going to ask them a question about how God spoke to them this week. Oh, that's right, Austin went in the back on me, didn't he? All right, come here, Joe. Come here, John. First of all, Joe, what was... We break everybody up into their genders and their age groups. So Joe was in the middle school boys. So first thing is tell them what the middle school boys' name was.
We were the Spicy Boys.
And Sean?
Yes.
all week. So Joe, what did or how did God speak to you this week at camp?
He talked to me about keep on going forward and getting over all the speed bumps. And like, there's going to be a lot of them and potholes and all that.
Okay. What is a couple of things that really stand out that happened this past week in your mind? Just over anything in particular. Could be one of the skits, could be one of the worship times, whatever. What are a couple of things that just stood out to your mind?
Bug bites.
Bug bites. Okay. What else? How about the cleanliness of the middle school boys' cabin?
Oh, yeah, it was spick and span.
All right, what else you got? What else did God say or do for you this week?
Pretty much just keep on moving forward.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Joe. All right, Mr. Foxworth. John, you can tell them the name of your group and anything else you'd like to say about what God did or showed you this week.
We were the Nuts.
You're not.
Named after Stuart's pre-K group and his song, who's not here to sing for us, but that's okay. We can sing it? All right, I'll start us off. Peanuts sitting on a railroad track. His heart was all a flutter. Went around the bend, came number 10 in. Choo-choo peanut butter. Slap.
John, you didn't sing that with much enthusiasm. I'm not sure about that.
But. Well, I know how much everybody enjoyed it, hearing it everywhere we went, all camp. But so we were the Nuts, the best group there, obviously. You know, high school boys were kind of the best. But anyway, what were you going to ask me?
Oh, how did God speak to you this past week? All the ways, through all the ways he spoke to you.
James made sure to let us know that we are the crown of God's creation. That was definitely something that was imparted on all of us, was how much we're loved by God. And no matter what we do or how bad we mess up, we're still going to be loved by God, and he's still coming after us.
Anything else from the week? Stood out? Memory?
Watching Dane dance was definitely one of the funniest parts.
I know what most of them are thinking. He sure didn't make it look easy.
Throwing Gabriel Drabeck into the kiddie pool was fun. Finding out his waist is 1 inch bigger than my thigh, that was interesting. not an exaggeration. And then he also just kind of spoke to me that a lot of times we go to camp waiting on to hear what God's going to do for us. And this year, for me at least, it was a lot about what I could do for other people there, whether it was the younger kids or the other high schoolers. That in my last year at camp, that it was sort of about giving back. So,
all right. Thank you, John. When he says last year at camp, what he means is as a camper. I hope he returns in some capacity into the future. Again, I know that a lot of you are not able to stay with us throughout the week, and you come and you go, and some of you have been there over the years. And one of the things that God made very plain to me before we arrived at Pinora this year, weeks leading up to it, was this. So often we go to Pinora. The Pinora address, Savannah Baptist Assembly address, is 930 Honey Ridge Road. And many of our kids, many of our adults, put this on the calendar as far out in advance as they can. For instance, next year calendar dates are June 7th through the 11th, for those who want to know. June 7th through the 11th, okay? You say that now, Stephanie, but you'll be the one that texts me in January and says, what are those camp days again? But one of the things that God made very plain to me that I want to try to communicate in just a few minutes this morning is this. That God is building. He is not built. He has been building. And one of the things that God wanted to do this year through our summer camp in our congregation is He is building. He is building His kingdom. The kingdom is expanding. But He's doing something inside of us. And so I began to process that a little bit with God and say, okay, God, I know what those words mean in English, but what do they mean in the spiritual realm? What do they mean in Your kingdom? What does that look like? And I think the word He gave me was community. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to read a very familiar passage, but in a different translation. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness, Your goodness, Your love, Your kindness, Your mercy. On and on it goes, unending, without limits. Father, in these next few moments, speak directly, reveal Yourself, reveal Your will to us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to read this passage to you. It's Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. It's the Passion Translation, though, this morning. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of the generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. As I was thinking about that scripture, as I was thinking about coming off summer church camp, and I was thinking about our body, community. It is something that's easy to talk about, is not always easy to live out. We see this community in the early church, the beginning of the church. We see how powerful and impactful it was. People were attracted to that. Jesus spoke that God would draw people to Himself through the oneness of the body of Christ, the joy of being together, the joy of loving one another, the joy of experiencing God together. And one of the things that I see over and over through all the years of doing summer camp is the fact that we have experienced Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 over and over. It's a coming together for a certain week to share the love of Christ in very practical, tangible ways, praying for one another, praising and worshiping. That was only a small bit. We did different dances every morning that Terry would come up with. Terry and Maya did a great job of, I asked them to come up with something way before camp called moments. Those moments were different things, sharing communion, sharing testimonies. Just surprises. We did a thing on Wednesday where when Jesus said, you better be ready because when I come back, it's for the blowing of the horn. And you better get back, you better be ready for when the shofar blows because I'm going to be gathering my church and you don't want to be left out. So we did this thing where Maya and Terry came up with in our big building called the Tabernacle there. They had made hot cinnamon rolls and punch. And let me tell you something. Terry told me that we were going to have cinnamon rolls, but she didn't tell me we were going to have punch. Honest to goodness, I thought I was in heaven. Hot cinnamon rolls and punch are two of my favorite things. Undercooked cinnamon rolls with hot icing on them, the angels and I sharing those. So we did that Wednesday, and Hope blew the shofar, and the kids came a running, and we just stood in the Tabernacle, and Terry and Maya fixed all these blooms. It was a party of celebration. And one, for those few brief moments together, we were sharing hot cinnamon rolls and sharing punch, those moments. And I think about community. I think about my life. I think about your life. How many moments do you celebrate Christ in community? How much of your life is really lived, not just in the routine, but living that routine very lonely? In fact, very frustrated. In fact, very confused at times. Community is powerful because God's a community God. We talk about the Holy Trinity. We don't talk about the God. We talk about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We talk about three in one. That's community to me. It's based upon relationships. And even though last week was a point in time, I know that within our church body, community is something we place great value on. But I think one of the struggles that most of us have is that when we leave here, how much community do you experience? Because you know one thing about community? It's your choice. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So He's not changing. He's not going anywhere. So His desire, His longing for to be in community with us and for us to be in community with one is apparently what He intends for every single day. What does it look like for us in different places at different times? Yeah, it changes. It ebbs and flows. I've got that. But the fact is we push community to the side as if it's an afterthought, if it's a suggestion. And God said, no, we are meant to be together. We are meant to hang out together. We're meant to cry together, to laugh together, to worship together. And we can do that in so many ways. As I share often with you guys, we live in the most isolated, lonely time in the history of the world, in my opinion, but also in sociologists' opinion. We can connect with one another around the world, but yet we stay disconnected because we're not emotionally involved in one another's lives. We are surface-level people dealing with a deep-level God. And so there's a tension. I'll say that for you again because I know some of you are thinking, what did he just say? I said, we're surface-level people dealing with a deep, intimate God. And so there's a tension in our lives. God, you say, God, this is all I really want. God says, I got more for you. God, I'm good enough with this right here. And God's saying, I got so much more for you. And we see this community. And last week, we get to experience this community in a very deep, personal way. And as I tell the kids over and over, and I'm sure the other counselors tell them this too, is that probably on Thursday afternoon when they went home, I know this was true in my house, that not much had changed in the world. Kind of the same barrage of bad news and You know what? Believe it or not, did you know there were still bills waiting for me? I left on Sunday, and my goodness, God chose to not get rid of all those bills for me while I was gone. It's crazy. But God was faithful on Sunday. He was faithful on Thursday. He's faithful on Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, I'm challenging you this morning, church, as we move forward into this season, what God's calling our church to be. Community cannot be something that we get around to. Community has to be something that we live out very practical and real ways every single day. But it's our choice. It's our choice. I love verse 47 right now. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to what? Life. That song that we opened up with that Terry picked, it's a show from the Greatest Showman. It's about life. It's about coming to life. How much deadness is in your heart right now? How much deadness is in your life right now? Maybe God's trying to cut off and prune some of that deadness so there can be a life-producing relationship with Him. Because that's what community does. It produces life. One of the great things about camp is it's really, really hard. You know what's, for me personally, this for me personally, maybe no other adult applies this. It's really hard for me to worry about the things that I've left behind at home. I can try, but then someone says, it's time to worship. It's time to dance a new dance. It's time for someone to share. It's time for a group time. It's time just to hang out and laugh. It's time to play volleyball. It's time to be together. And these scriptures that we read that are very common, that most of you in this room have heard over and over, I ask you something. Where are you living this in your life? How are you experiencing this? These scriptures, they don't change because it's June 8th, 2019. They just didn't exist from June the 2nd through the 6th for those that were there last week. Is it challenged? Is it easy? I didn't say anything about easy. I don't think this was easy. I think they made a conscious decision to say, I am better with you than I am without you. That I don't understand that God's doing in my life, so I'm going to need some help. I need some help understanding what God meant through His Word. I need some help and understand what these apostles are talking about. Because, yeah, I remember something when it says they studied the apostles' teachings. They're trying to instruct the way that Jesus was living His life and discipling them. Did they understand every nuance? Absolutely not. Why do we put this in the category of, man, this should just free flow into us? Like, there's no big deal. It's no problem. In fact, one of the things I love to challenge the campers with throughout the week is simply this. Deal with the tension that God's creating in your life, whether or not you're going to choose to be obedient. Whether or not you're going to choose the renewing experience of community. God's in, I think right now, God is offering renewal in ways we cannot imagine. I know the Bible talks about renewing our mind. How about renewing hope? How about renewing the capacity to love one another? How about the capacity to love people in your life that the truth is you wish you really weren't in your life? Because one of the things about community was it wasn't closed, it was open. It was inclusive. It wanted to gather with people to share life together, but also to add to their number. They weren't gathering to exclude, they were gathering to include. When we do summer camp every year, it's kind of interesting. Because like if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I'd have said this number of campers were coming. And then by the time camp rolled around, I had people going, do you have room? Do you have room? Do you have room? Because you know what happens every single year with church camp? During the school year, there's so many things going on that a lot of you that invite people, they're only thinking about the next thing they have to get through. But when school gets out and they're looking at their kids sitting on the couch playing video games or on their phones, like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with them all summer? Then they start to think about, wait a second, I remember. And then they start to invest or in try to figure out what they want to do with them. So God uses that wait time. He uses that silent time. And Lord knows this year we probably had as many adult helpers as we did campers, literally. And it was a huge blessing just to be around, just to see how God used them. But that we were used in community. But God is not waiting to a future time to do that within our own lives. He's wanting to do it right now, in our lives, through our lives, and with one another. Some of the biggest challenges most of us have with community is simply this. Are we willing to make it a priority? Are we willing to make it a priority to spend time with other people? Are we making it a priority to see what God's doing in other people's lives? If you're ever in a group that I'm leading, one of the first questions I always ask my group when we get together is share God's story. I believe that's biblical. I believe what's God been doing in your life? You know, I know you were living life and you were doing this, but what was God doing in the middle of life? I think we see that in community. You need to ask yourself, what is God doing in my life? What is God doing in my life? And I need to be a part of a community so I can share that with others because God's doing something in their life. Evil in any form, love to isolate. Because when I can isolate you, evil says, I can lie to you. And I'll keep lying to you till you believe it. And once you believe it, I've got you. Remember, he can't steal your salvation, but he sure can twist your tail. He can sure get you on that hamster wheel and get you exhausted mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And boom, he's rendered you useless for the kingdom of God. Community energizes. Community shares life and brings life and gives life. You know, most time people, some of you ask me this, I really don't think you believe me, but my wife's here, she can verify I'm not lying. Or as Dusty likes to say, remember this one for you, Jonathan, next time. I'm telling the truth this time. There you go, Jonathan, that's one for you, okay? Is this, it was like Thursday, kind of late at night, and Kelly says to me, are you tired? I said, nope, not at all. One of the things I think that God showed me this year was this. Enjoy the moment, because the moments are changing. The moments are changing. Tomorrow's moments won't be today's moments. Today's moments shouldn't be like yesterday's moments. Would I like to have stayed there? No. Because I need to be back amongst the dead to show them the living. There's nothing in that scripture that uses the words easy, convenient, when you get around to it. Any of those type of mindsets. You can ask Kathy, you can ask people, you can ask those boys sitting right back there. My mindset is relationships. And the best relationships require the best of me. And they require time. They require energy. They require different resources. There was a giving of all. What did it look like? That's kind of a, you know, it's kind of like one of those paraphrases. It's kind of one of those paraphrases of what all would happen. I don't think they all just sat around the campfire singing Kumbaya. I'm sure there was a little bit of, I hope so-and-so doesn't show up tonight because they're a pain in the behind. All they ever want to talk about is this. I'm ready to move on. But I'm sure there was a lot of times where they said, I'm sure you're struggling. Let's gather around you and lay hands on you. Let's see what God wants to say to you. How's God moving in your heart? How's God moving in your life, your family, your workplace? They were tired. Clearly, they got hungry. They ate together a lot. They shared life together. They shared life together for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. This wasn't their kingdom. They made a choice to follow Jesus, to follow the Holy Trinity, to follow a communal God without a lot of questions answered. So how will it happen in your life? That's a good question to put before God. What's God pruning away in your life so you can experience life in community? What's God pruning away in your life that you may not want to be pruned? You may not want God to cut it out, but yet you know it's death. You know it's not life-giving, it's not life-producing. In fact, it's not even of God. See that verse 45, it starts out of generosity. Out of generosity, God's called us to be in community. Out of His goodness, He has called us to be in community. I'm sure if you ask any one of the campers, but more so maybe just the adults, if you ask them all that God did in their life last week, it may be a phrase or two, but I want you to know if we take time to connect the dots, God was doing something that relates to that then that will be a then into the future. God was not static last week. He was dynamic. He was active. But I want you to know I serve a living God that's still static, or is not static, but is dynamic right now. June the 8th, 2019, He is still dynamic, and He is still faithful, and His goodness is overwhelming, and His love is incredible. So this morning, I want you to think about just one simple thing. You have your cards and you have your envelopes. How is God challenging you to live in community? Community doesn't mean you have to be around a whole bunch of people all the time. God means sharing life with believers, but not excluding others, but ready to include others because you have life and that life has been given to share. And right now, maybe you're in a season of your life where I'm just struggling to experience life. I've got Jesus, but I just don't feel like I'm experiencing life. I feel like I'm more like a dead man walking.
Maybe that's the way you feel. Be honest. Be honest. But also ask yourself this. How have you chosen to isolate yourself? How have you chosen to allow the evil one to just pour lies on you? How you've allowed any form of evil, especially the world we live in, that loves for you to feel isolated so therefore it can control and manipulate. How have you allowed this to happen in your life? What changes need to occur to experience the fullness of God through community? Because as I challenge our campers and our workers, 930 Honey Ridge Road, address of the camp. Yeah, I believe it's a sanctuary of sorts. I believe that. But praise God, He doesn't only work at 930 Honey Ridge Road. Praise God, He can work at 120 East Sagebrush Lane. That's my address. Praise God, He can work at your workplace, the places you go, the places you travel. I was challenging my young adult group this morning. We talk about evangelism. I said, when's the last time you thank somebody in your life that does the menial things? When's the last time you looked at somebody and you knew they needed an encouraging word and you didn't deliver it? Now you can choose to deliver an encouraging word. When's the last time you looked at a person that was doing a menial job, you just looked them in the eye just to show that you respect them as a human being? That's part of living in community. Don't overcomplicate this. Don't overthink it. Just be obedient. Just be obedient. You know we offer life groups on Sunday morning, but there are so many other ways to enjoy personal community. Because you know one thing they didn't do in this, right? You know one thing they didn't do? They didn't do it from a distance. They got up close and personal. They didn't do it from a distance. They did it up close and personal. Well, I am for watching online and all those types of things. There's nothing that beats this right here. There's nothing that beats my Tuesday night life group. There's nothing that's going to beat tonight with the youth group. There's nothing that's going to beat the class that I'm part of on Sunday mornings. There's nothing that beats because God is a personal God. He could text me He loves me, but He chooses to touch my heart to show me that He loves me. Let's pray. I want you to think about these things. What's God challenged you to on the community? How do you need prayer this morning? How do you need God to touch your life? Meditate on those things for these next few moments, these next few minutes. Father, what I would pray for us this morning is, let's let our guard down and experience You for you. Let's let our guard down and quit going through the motions. Let's let our guard down and let You love on us. I'm thankful, Father, that You're a respecter of men and women. So, Lord, we get to choose. Will we let our guard down and experience God for who He is? Stir in our hearts. Speak to us, Father. If you need to pray with somebody this morning, our guys will be up here, their wives. The altar is open. You can go ahead and bring your prayer cards, your offering envelopes. Just be obedient to what God's telling you.
I wanted to share a quick testimony with you because I feel like I don't want to be like those 10 lepers that 9 went away, didn't say thank you to the Lord. I was having a medical problem that was going on for like 10 years, and I didn't have any peace about getting a procedure done to fix it until this winter. So my birthday's in April. I turned 50. But beginning of the year, I felt the Lord saying, now's the time to have this procedure, and by the time you turn 50, you're going to feel better than you have in a long time. And so I scheduled the procedure in March and had that, knowing that we have a super high deductible plan and it was probably going to cost $5,000. And I was going to pay on that for the next however many years, 50 bucks a month for 50 years. Yeah. But I felt like the Lord said, you're not going to have to pay this. 50 is the year of Jubilee in the Bible, and that means all debts go forgiven every 50 years. And so I was like, great. Well, when I got home from camp, I got a letter from Candler Hospital that said your $4,700 debt is forgiven. You owe nothing. Praise God.
Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate that. I'd like to welcome Mrs. O'Carey this morning. She's back there. Hey. By the way, I just want to tell you something. I'm going to confess something before of you. I've struggled with a little jealousy over Chudamon. He didn't help practice the dance, and he came up late to join the dance, and he got moved towards the front. I got moved towards the back. I've been working on that turn for weeks. Good. Cheeto, that's true, and Uche. So, but I do want you to know something. I guarantee you something. God is stirring mightily through community. Take it seriously. Let's pray. We love you. We receive your love. May we give your love. It's a privilege to love others. Father, we are all at some time or another unlovable. May we not believe that lie that somebody else is unlovable. That's a lie. They are the creation of the living God. They are in the image of the perfect God. Sin has marred. Sin has distorted. May it not distort and mar our vision for their life within the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thank you.